been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the midweek Wednesday edition. It is November the 15th. We are live. This is the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. I'm going to say that there's a weak rally so far out of the gate. I'm going to thank Target. I'm going to thank the PPI. Which is basically flat here today, came in flat. The Dow is up 80 points, closing in on 35,000 again. We're at 34,908. The S&P is up 12 points. That's about a quarter of a percent. S&P is back to 4,500, 4,507. And the NASDAQ is up 45 points. That's 32 basis points, a third of a percent, 14,141. The small caps doing best of all, up 62 basis points. The Russell 2000 is up 11. It's still down for the year, however. Maybe it caught up to the even line. We'll be checking that tomorrow. Crude oil is down 95 cents right now to $77.31. Gold is down $6.30. It's back to 1960. And the 10-year's up 9 basis points after a huge plunge yesterday. We're back up to 4.54 today. So welcome to today's The Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, before we get into today's news, we got to wrap up what happened yesterday.
The Dow
up 489 yesterday. The NASDAQ up 326 yesterday. And it was all brought about by three letters, CPI. Give me a C. Give me a P. Give me an I. What does that spell? Plus 489 points on the Dow.
Yeah, a rally.
And, you know, a lot of it was short covering. I mean, I can tell. Look, when you see badly beaten down sectors such as the REITs and the regional banks leading the market to the upside, and when those sectors are up 8 or 9% like they were yesterday, there's an awful lot of short covering in there built into that. And, you know, I got to assume that they'll go right back to shorting again once things settle down. And you are seeing, you know, the 10-year up 9 basis points after plunging 20 basis points yesterday. And that just goes to show you the volatility. It's not usual for the Treasury market. Barry, that's supposed to trade like CDs, basically. Not quite like CDs, but be very stable.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
we're
10
seeing
basis,
wild moves.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, anything, you know, more than a double-digit, you know, basis point move is a huge move in the bond market, and I mean, it feels like we have those every day. I mean, today the 10 years up, you know, 10 basis points, 0.1%, which, like I said, in the bond market, pretty significant move.
Yes, and then 20 yesterday, and 10 today.
Well, and the thing you got to remember is that market. I mean, we know how much debt we have, right? $33 trillion. So you can obviously know that the U.S. bond market is pretty darn large, right? And so when you have, you know, to have that kind of move in the market means a lot of dollars, right?
Yeah,
have changed
a lot of money
in one
moving,
direction.
Right. Leaving, or buying back in. That's the wildest volatility I've seen in the bond market, I think, during the 24 years I've been in the business. Traders are now pricing in a 99 or something like that probability, 99.7, that they won't that they won't hike rates in December. I don't think you can rule it out completely, but the market certainly is. You never know. What's his name? Jerome Powell's been has made some Christmas moves in the past.
Yeah,
that shocked Wall Street.
He's been the Grinch before, right?
I remember a few Christmas Eves ago, maybe 4 years or so, when the market was down 600 points.
End of 2018, wasn't it?
Yeah, on Christmas Eve. Thanks, Jerome. But anyways, you would think that he would have no reason this time around to ruin your holiday meal.
It's anyways, crazy. I mean, looking at those percentages, like you said, 99% for this meeting to stay as is. January is a 97. That's January 31st meeting. That's a 97% chance of staying as is. The March 20th meeting is pretty interesting because it actually has 25% of a rate cut, and then the 74% of staying as is. So,
well, the market has priced in no more rate hikes, an end to the rate hike cycle. We thought it would happen maybe 3 or 4 months earlier. It didn't. You had some surprise in numbers and inflation, and we remained higher for longer, just like he promised. But we could be done now. Now, the big news today really is happening in San Francisco, where Governor Newsom has lined the streets with Chinese flags to welcome President Xi from China. Where U.S. President Joe Biden, his Chinese counterpart, Xi Jinping, will meet on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit on Wednesday to help cool escalating tensions between the two countries. I'm thinking that usually, you know, I'm not so sure the economy's going so well in China. And that may have pushed Xi to come together with he may need us. You know, their exports have fallen dramatically. They're importing a lot more than they used to. And sometimes that will push people to conversations, right, when things kind of get bad. That's just what I'm thinking, that his economy continues to struggle.
Well, and we could provide, and that's the other thing I saw in terms of the, you know, what kind of, you know, quote-unquote olive branches do we have, right, to entice them, and part of it is, you know, providing, right, some form of stimulus, whether it's, you know, reducing tariffs, right, or, like you said, increasing trade or some of those.
The trade restrictions, some of those. Now, he's also going to meet, while he's here, Elon Musk. There's very few big stories around the world that don't somehow involve Elon Musk.
Here's another big one today.
He'll be meeting with Elon. He'll be meeting with Microsoft Satya Nadella. He'll be meeting with Exxon CEO Darren Woods and Citigroup CEO Jane Fraser.
That's quite a group, by the way. Like, and just in terms of, you know, covering a lot of ranges of industry, right?
We've got yes.
The green, you know, you electric cars. We've got Exxon and banks.
So. Yes, that's a very good assortment. We'll see what comes from that, all right? I would think that nothing but good can come from it, or, you know, she wouldn't be coming over here making all of that effort. And another good piece of news last night was that the U.S. House, where things have been hung up before, now they have a new Speaker of the House, and he cleared the stopgap spending bill to avoid government shutdown. Now the Senate has to pass it, which should probably happen. So it looks like at least we'll get through the end of the year. I mean, I think they're kicking the can down the road once again. And I think the big sticking point, the bill does not include Ukraine and Israel aid.
It basically includes none of the sticking points,
yes,
right? No aid for Israel or Ukraine.
And no spending cuts.
And right.
No spending cuts.
So exactly.
It's basically kicking the can down the road until next year is what it seems like to me. Soft landing seems to be, that's what we've been predicting all year long. There was earlier this year, we kind of questioned the soft landing scenario because the draconian rate hikes continued. But we've pretty much been on the side of soft landing, which is not easy to achieve. just like landing a big jumbo jet and lots of turbulence and wind and crosswinds to set down. And the people will clap, you know, when they land on the tarmac and everything, including me. I'll climb up from under my seat, you know. And so a soft landing may be achieved here. Like I say, Jerome Pell maybe should put his hat in the ring. Running right. for president. He seems to do a better job of with the economy and whatnot than anybody else these days. Okay, now when we come back, retail sales are always a big indicator. Producer price indexes are always UK inflation, and then earnings continue to pile in as we wind down the third quarter of 2024's earnings season, and get ready for 2023's, and get ready for 2024. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where the rally in the market continues. The interest rate, inflation disappearing, fueled rally in the market. You have retail sales coming in a little bit softer than expected. They ticked down in October. But when we get to it, we had a really good report from one of the biggest retailers in the world, and that bodes well for the retail, for the consumer still. The producer price index unexpectedly drops in October.
That's huge.
That's huge.
It's pretty wild. It was what I think came in minus. I think came minus 0.5%.
Yes.
Was expected to rise like 0.1 or something of that nature in terms of the top line number. And then the core was flat. So we always talk about, of course, you know, to me that's kind of a bit of a leading indicator when it comes to, you know, consumer price index, because, you know, companies tend to do a great job at, you know, passing on their cost to us as consumers. So, if the last couple of years are any indication, but, that's great news.
You think they're going to pass on the 5% drop in producer price indexes to the
consumer?
Probably not,
but we might see it reflected in earnings.
Yes, it'll drop to their bottom line in earnings, but, you know, look, prices are still very elevated. You could say they're at all-time highs. Prices for goods are at all-time highs.
Yeah, your note with got a chuckle out of your chuck roast.
$32 for a pot roast.
I've seen it recently. Yeah, like I mean, we were going to do some, you know, basically do hibachi at the house, right? You know,
oh,
went through
ridiculous.
And looked at all the ingredients, and I'm like, let's just go to the restaurant, and
yeah.
know, they could basically do it for basically the exact same price, and we didn't have to cook it.
So, yeah, I mean, look, we're paying the highest prices we've ever paid. I don't care if it's cheese or eggs or meat or chicken or fish, you know, grouper, $35 a pound, whatever.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
It's crazy. Salmon, $15, $16 a pound. Okay, UK inflation, they're still hotter than we are, but they're down to 4.6%. That comes in below consensus for them. We get earnings today. Cisco's going to be reporting earnings here today. After the close, Target has already reported. We're going to get to their results here in a little bit. Let's see. JD.com, I think they've already reported. Palo Alto Networks, that's a big one. That's a cybersecurity stock, one of the best cybersecurity stocks out there. They report after the close. Sociedad Quimica y Minera, which is a big Chilean company that mines lithium, they'll report. TJ Maxx has already reported, and the Chinese EV company Xpeng has reported. Tomorrow, the big one's Walmart. And I have to believe if Target has such a good, Walmart usually does even better than Target. So we'll see. The weight loss drugs don't seem to be showing up yet in the earnings of Target, and Walmart will find out tomorrow. Those earnings reports are still out there. Mortgage applications rise as interest rates hold steady. The 30-year mortgage is now at 7.61. You know, there was also another big story here recently that kind of went under the radar, unless you're a real estate agent, but there was a big decision in a courtroom about how, you know, the real estate industry has gotten away with excessive commissions. That's what the jury found. And that could really, you know, our business went under a huge 23 years ago when the commission broker, you know, basically became a thing of the past and the discount broker came along. You know, Wall Street used to charge exorbitant commissions to buy and sell stocks, $200 for 100 shares, whatever. If the guy called you and said, hey, I like AMD here, I think you ought to buy 100 shares. If they did that 100 times a day to different people, they made a pretty nice little commission, had a good day of commissions. Now it's no charge, Barry. We're down to zero. It doesn't cost anything to buy or sell a stock. Oh, there's something built in there somewhere, a little bit of spread or whatever.
Right. But I just remember, there was a great, great book years ago, Freakonomics, and there was a chapter about real estate and and realtors, and it's just funny that realtors sell their own house for I think 10% more than they sell your house for, primarily because if they were going to get getting an extra $10,000, right, gives them an extra 3% times 10,000, right, of a commission. Versus it gives you close to 10,000, right? But it makes sense for them to sell your home faster. So it's just there's some, our industry and certainly us, how we're set up as an RIA. Your goal is really to remove as many conflicts of interest as possible, right?
Right.
And I think still that commission structure, just the the flat 3% or on each side of the transaction,
yes,
or what have you, is just it doesn't. And it doesn't always, it doesn't really, to me, align the seller or buyer, right, with
I
the
think commissions are coming down in their industry, just like they did in our industry. But, so that's something to think about. Now, Global X, looking ahead, here's their four key themes to 2024. Global X makes a lot of ETFs. AI and robotics and automation lead the way into the future, number one. I think I'd have to agree with that. There's still a lot of room to grow. I mean, we're in the beginning innings of automation, robotics, AI. And, of course, they've got about five ETFs that fit that the bill there. Bots, GINN, iRobot, IRBO, they got, there's several ETFs, chat, which is pure AI. So if you're thinking about ETFs for next year, I would say that trend is probably going to continue. They're volatile because they're high PE stocks. They're very keen to interest rates one way or another. But I agree with that theme. Number two, U.S. infrastructure. You know, I've been hearing that year after year after year, roads and bridges and infrastructure. I've never seen the stocks. I've never really seen them materialize in gains for the stocks, but that's their number two theme. Number three is cybersecurity. It's hard to argue with that, as that becomes just a huge, this ransomware stuff is just huge. When they're interrupting treasury trades by the U.S. Treasury.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that you had, essentially a Russian group, right, attacking, right, basically a Chinese bank, and it involved U.S. Treasury. So you think there's some collusion there maybe?
Absolutely. Okay, and then fourth would be healthcare tied to an aging population. I agree with that, especially as it relates to the weight loss drugs. And maybe, the Alzheimer drugs, etc. So anyways, those are four pretty good themes. They're in place now. I don't see why they wouldn't remain in place next year. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we've had an interest rate dropping, inflation dropping, fueled rally in the market. It seems like the market has been pretty bad at predicting inflation, because when you get those big up days when the inflation numbers come in soft like they did, that means a lot of people were guessing wrong, right, on the wrong side of things. And the inflation, we've been saying, we think it's going to just become a thing of the past. You know, we've been saying that for the last several months, and it does continue to dissipate. Airbus finally gets an order. I guess Airbus, they have a problem with one of their engines. And that's why Boeing got the big order from Dubai. And Dubai said, hey, until you finish, fix that engine, we're not buying any more planes from you. That's got to hurt. But yeah, they got an 11 wide-body jet order from Ethiopian Airlines, finally, there you at the go. End Ethiopia, of the show.
Yeah, they're throwing out some cash because they were the ones that announced, they were like the third or fourth deal that Boeing Boeing got. They saw that announced yesterday. But, yeah, it's an interesting. I think I'm pretty sure Airbus cleaned up last year.
Exactly.
Over Boeing. But then I don't know. I've been reading about this. Have you seen a lot of this? These forged parts that have made it into a lot of these planes.
Yes.
Apparently, you know, I've got to get deeper into the story. But it seems like almost some. Fake, for lack of a better term, fake parts.
Yeah, and they're not up to standards.
The system, yeah, which is.
I hope they're not in the plane I fly to Bloomfield Hills next early next year.
Right.
I'm going to ask about the parts. I could care less about the nuts and the Diet Coke. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway exits GM. Well, I don't know why was he ever in GM stock.
He had a stake in Boyd. Why would he have one in GM?
Yeah, the auto business is difficult. He also divested smaller stakes in Johnson & Johnson, which is a dud. Mondelez, which is old Kraft Foods, it's a dud. Procter & Gamble, and United UPS. He trimmed his holdings in Chevron, Hewlett-Packard, and Amazon.
He probably had to trim in Chevron since he owns so much Oxy, right?
Yeah. He divested Activision because that became a finished deal, and he maintained his largest holding, which continues to be Apple. That's his largest holdings. 78% of Berkshire Hathaway were concentrated in American Express, Apple, Bank of America, Coca-Cola, and Chevron. So that continues to be his big ones. NVIDIA keeps chugging along as Citi maintains buy rating heading into Q3. Well, NVIDIA has definitely been our biggest winner here in 2020. Three, just looking at it, I mean, we originally bought it in the ultra growth portfolio back on January the 18th. It's up 184% in that portfolio, which that portfolio has also done very well in 2023. In the premier growth portfolio, it's up 110%. We bought it in March 23. Citigroup still has a buy rating. I would just say this, you know, you have to, I would take advantage of pullbacks. When there have been some pretty big pullbacks. There was one recently. NVIDIA pulled clear back to 392 during this correction from July to late October. And now it's back to 490. So it's up 100 points in the last 3 weeks. It's going to run into resistance at 500. We'll see whether or not it can get through that 500 level this time. I'd be a little cautious with new money, but I certainly wouldn't be selling my NVIDIA. Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk see increased investor interest on strength of weight loss drugs. JP Morgan Chase, BlackRock, Vanguard, Tiger Global Management, and others have increased their allocations in Eli Lilly in Q3. JP Morgan alone added more than 1.6 million shares and now has around 1.8 billion in the company. Lilly is, I think it's our largest position. It's either that or NVIDIA. Eli Lilly
depends on the day.
Zepbound will launch before year end at a monthly list price with a 20% discount to Wegovy.
Yeah, NVIDIA,
so that's something
just
to think about.
NVIDIA just barely above Lilly right now in terms of overall market value at the firm.
That's pretty good to have those two as your top holdings at your firm. And we do have other holdings. We don't really focus and go big. There's one mutual fund out there. It's called Kinetics. They'll have like a 75% position at any given time in one stock.
Wow.
And then the rest is spread out. I think they're one stock right now. I want to say it's Tesla. It was Texas Pacific Land, TPL, which is a big play on oil and oil royalties. I'm not quite sure. I think it's Tesla, but that's been one of the top performing mutual funds. I think it's probably the top ranked mutual fund in the Best Stocks Now app, which hopefully is going to be switched over today. They were working on it last night to switch over the web-based version to the new version. I haven't logged on yet today. No, I did this morning, and it hadn't happened yet. It's like, come on, just get it done. Novo Nordisk weight loss drug recorded 167% surge in sales for the first 9 months. So anyways, a 20% discount to go on the Lilly drug, Zepbound. And from what I hear, it's a better drug than Novo Nordisk. Then you got the duds. Bristol Myers cut to neutral as Cantor moves out of a value trap. Well, a value trap is a stock that has a low P.E. ratio, a big dividend yield, and no growth. That's generally what a value trap is. And you think it's worth more than, you know, where it's trading at, but the street doesn't agree with you. And finally, you have to pull the plug on something like that. Now, here's another thing I've seen a lot of. Why would Nabors Industry is going to repay all, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to see if Barry can come up with the same conclusion I have. They are going to issue debt at 7 3/8 to pay off all their outstanding 5 3/4 senior notes. Why would you do that?
Well, I mean, unless they're worried about it, it depends on the duration, right? How
there
long
you go.
They went out, right?
Time.
Yeah.
They need more time because the others are due in 2025, right?
Right.
So they realize that, hey, we need more time. We're willing to – you kind of got to look at it and say, that's not a good situation, really.
Well, it's kind of telling you that they think their cost of capital could be higher, right, 2 years from now when they need to, you know, when they need to, you know, retire that, say, those 2025 notes.
Yeah, they're going out to 2027, you see, with 7 3/8.
Yeah, which to us, right, you would think, right, when you just look at, say, that far out, right, the, you know, the interest rate expectations, you know, have to be, you know, would much likely be downward. So, in other words, they're, you know, they're
buying time
related, right?
They need the extra 2 years, is my conclusion there. And even if it costs them a lot more, they know that they're not going to be able to repay that one that's due in 2025. Now, the stock of the day, bar none, is Target. Believe it or not, Target is up 17% today on 18 times normal volume. And I would say that there was a big, heavy short interest in Target. And that also will make a move, accentuate a move one way or another. There's probably a big squeeze there. The people that bet against Target were wrong, and now they're covering those bets very quickly. And then you've got people buying Target because they believe a turnaround's in place. This has been one of the worst performing stocks this year. So let's just look. As of yesterday, year to date, Target was down 26%. Not good. Now, that doesn't count today's move. So, and last year it was down 36%. The year before that it was down 10%. It hasn't had a winning year in 4 years now. But the Minneapolis-based company is the stock of the day. It's up 17%. Their margins improve. The stock soars. Will that spill over to Walmart tomorrow? Now, when we come back, I just want to talk real briefly about a stock with 119% dividend yield. 119% dividend yield. Then we'll look underneath the surface of the market today, because it remains a pretty decent day in the market. We'll be right back. You got to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. It is another day that, boy, it looks almost completely short covering to me. Is that different from a good, solid rally in quality stocks in the market? It's very much different from that. It is just all of the beaten down stocks. If you're in those stocks, you're having another huge day. I would say if you're in the big quality stocks, you're basically about flat on the day because those stocks are not participating. It's a huge day two of a short covering rally, and I'm going to say it's the PPI, Barry, that spooked. If they didn't cover their shorts yesterday after the CPI, the PPI, they really scrambled. They came out of their tunnels today, the short sellers, and are scrambling and running for cover.
I had to read I had to read it twice because it, it said decreased, and didn't have a negative in front of the half a percent negative, and I'm like, okay, decreased. I'm like, okay, did it decrease from 0.6 to 0.5? And then I'm like, oh, minus 0.5.
That's the PPI.
I'm like, okay, there we go.
That's incredible. Okay, and it hasn't. I have the new app. It's a I have it on Beta Planets. It's done. It's ready. And I'm just waiting for them to flip the switch, whatever that entails, without screwing everything up. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, I have one of the screens built in are dividend yields. And the number one dividend yield, the stock is ranked number 3,641. But if you look it up on MarketSmith on Investors Business Daily, and if you look it up on Yahoo or Icon or whatever, wherever you see your data, the dividend yield's 131%. Well, you know that that's not sustainable, but it is. That's if you take the dividends they've paid over the last 12 months, divide it by the current price of the stock. Problem is, the stock has gone from 91 down to 7. Zim Integrated Shipping, which is an Israeli-based container shipping company, cargo solutions for all industries. They've been growing their sales because of demand and the shortage of container ships and whatnot. But the stock is down 3.5% today. I'm sure you're going to see some kind of cut to that dividend. And as I look at the others in that list, here's one 61%. Then you look at the stock and it's like 12-cent stock, which I try to get rid of those and clean them out of my database. There is a certain minimum you have to meet. EVA, which is a company on the ropes, they make wood pellets for energy in Europe, a 37% dividend yield. So I would just say you have to really be careful with these big dividend yields. You know, if it's over 4%, 3.5%, 4%, you know, unless some of the REITs are 4.5% to 5%, that's about the going rate. And when you see these big ones, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Now, here's the evidence that I'm seeing short covering here. In the S&P, Target is the big winner, 17.1. That's a combination of beating earnings, the PPI coming in way softer than expected, and there was a heavy short interest in Target. There's been a lot of betting against Target this year, and, you know, at least they're wrong today. Now, will they go right back to shorting it? I don't know, but the stock is up 17.1. That's probably twice what it should be up if you took away the short cover. I'm just making a guess there. And then all the other stocks that I see leading the S&P are all heavily shorted stocks. VF Corp, Catalent, which has had some horrible reports recently. Kohl's Stores, which a lot of people think will eventually go the way of Bed Bath & Beyond. TripAdvisor, which has been under heavy pressure, up 8%. Macy's up 8.5%. A beleaguered solar stock, Enphase, up 7.6%. The big lithium stock, Albemarle, up 7.2%. Seattle-based Nordstrom's up 6.6%. There's no quality here. These are all heavily beaten down stocks that are making these big moves. This is day two. Yesterday it was mostly very similar, heavily beaten down stocks. If you're in those, you had just a huge monster day yesterday. But for the most part, you know, your Microsofts, your Googles, your NVIDIAs, your AMDs aren't performing anywhere near what these stocks, the leaders in the indexes, are doing. That's not a good sign, at least for a continuation. Now, it's good to get inflation out of the way. It's good to get the Fed out of the way. But now all of a sudden you're back to an 18.5 multiple somewhere in there on the market, which has been the top, even at you know, with falling interest rates and falling inflation. You know, there's not a lot of room there for the quality stocks right now, because now you've got an expanded multiple again. And the only stocks that are really you know, lighting up the board today are heavily shorted stocks. So we'll just leave it at that. We're still happy with our big day yesterday. We've had a great year here this year.
Tesla's going on. Tesla's up 3.7%.
Yep, Tesla's
today.
Really the only
200.
Yeah, that's a pretty good bounce.
Quality name.
It's right. Up $50 now. Yeah. From it got down to 194 intraday. I think from time to time Tesla builds up a lot of short interest too, because of it's such a 66 PE ratio stock. But anyways, that's where we're at here on this Wednesday. 6 weeks left in the year. We're expected to make about $220 per share in earnings for the S&P 500. But the market looking ahead to, really looking ahead now to into 2025. It's pretty much already priced in next year's earnings expectations. And of course, any change to those expectations change the market. So we'll see what comes from, the big powwow in San Francisco today between, Biden and Xi. And the CEOs, some top CEOs of America that will meet with China's leader. For now, we remain bullish on the market, but selective on the market. If you'd like to get the newsletter, 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us to talk about your plan, your portfolio, 855 611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.